This is a HeadGum Original.
Woo! We are back up in this thing! People of Earth who are listening, citizens of everywhere, welcome to History of Heat, a podcast powered by StockX.
So we started out this series, this History of Heat, talking about nostalgia and talking about sneakers. But for our personal histories, it all starts with sneakers. Sneakers are our first love.
Yeah, but sneakers are really just kind of a gateway drug for the much bigger universe, if you will, of streetwear, you know. Streetwear includes sneakers, but it's much bigger than that. It's this whole, like, populist movement. Oh, you didn't know I was going to say populist, huh? Look at the way your eyes went. I said populist.
They rolled back in my head.
Whoa! But it is kind of this whole populist movement inspired by what people actually wear on the streets, then making it part of, mainstream fashion.
And today, streetwear is everywhere. You know, back when you were growing up, streetwear was kind of just its own little corner. But now, everything is streetwear. You've got streetwear styles at Fashion Week, Dior and Gucci and Comme des Garçons. They're all doing streetwear collections. You got streetwear at The Gap, Yeezy hoodies at the mall, and there's just streetwear all over the world.
So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We've got the incomparable, the magician. Not a lot of people know this. Full-on magician.
Total magician.
One thing that, like, he's done a lot of things. Actor, writer, producer, performer. Number one love, magician. We've got magician Sam Richardson in the house, and we're going to talk to him about streetwear in Detroit. And we've got StockX economist, our best friend, Jesse Einhorn here to talk about streetwear economics. And, of course, you got the big dog, woof, woof, Isaiah Lester, Mr. Woof, woof himself, and the little dog, Mr. Woof, woof. Yasser Lester, me, to break down future trends.
This is History of Heat.
Hey, y'all, we are so excited for today's episode. We got a real big one, a real major one coming at you. Me and Isaiah and Jesse, we are joined by actor, writer, producer. You've seen him on Ted Lasso, Veep, and Detroiters. He's one of our good friends. We love him dearly. We got Sam Richardson in the building. That's coming up. But right now, we want to discuss streetwear a little bit more and just how these streetwear companies have, like, kind of grown and carved out their place in the fashion industry. Isaiah?
And the rise of streetwear internationally as well. And of course, we have the prices hype with Jesse and predictions on what's next big in the game.
You know, Isaiah, I'm going to get personal because and I'm wearing one right now. I'm wearing a Dickies jumpsuit with a hoodie. I have always been a Dickies guy. It's weirdly the one thing that I've always kept up with. Like, Dickies to me is like kind of the definitive streetwear company, you know, because, like, it's truly, when we talk about what streetwear is, it, like, comes from workwear, right? It's just like you're kind of stylizing what people had to wear and then made it into, like, a fly fit. You know what I'm saying? So my first big streetwear moment, I would say, is that I begged mom for Christmas to buy me some Dickies pants. And she was like, "You want Dickies?" And I was like, "Yeah, nigga, I want Dickies." That's how I said it. I went, "Yeah, mom, you buster, I want some Dickies." She was like, "I'm gonna spank you." I was like, "Fair. You know what? Fair, mom." But yeah, that was my first one. And then I bought a FUBU t-shirt when I was in ninth grade.
Yeah, I mean, we were on that wave early, like, in terms of streetwear being a thing that's, like, from a culture that goes into the mainstream. We had a lot of FUBU growing up. We wore a lot of FUBU.
Yeah.
I remember my first real streetwear piece was a FUBU hockey jersey with football jersey numbering. Like, it looked like a football jersey from the back, but it was a hockey jersey. And it was, like, light gray and then, like, this grayish blue that was practically the same color, like, split in half. And it just said FUBU across it.
Dude, yeah, I will say FUBU had a hold on the young homies. Like, there was, you know, outing ourselves a little bit. You know, me and Zaya, like, are we rough and rugged? Yeah. But were we always forced to go to white high schools than white schools? Yes, we were. What's the term for like pretty fly for a white guy, white people? Like little, you know, like Kid Rocks or like MGKs.
Yeah, like the Michigan, I just call them white boys with fades. Like there's a particular kind of white boy that gets a fade that you're okay. But the thing is like the persona, the difference between those two eras and those two things is back then it was just like, oh, this white dude kind of wants to act like a rapper.
Yeah.
And now the white dudes are acting like R&B singers. It's way different. They got the one diamond earring. They got the fade.
Yeah, yeah.
They got the jean jacket on. And they're just man, I'm going to steal your girl. It's like, you're not stealing nothing. You're just shoplifting like every other white kid. You're stealing nothing. But
also, steal my girl, please. So, you know, me and Zaya went to these schools and all of these, you know, quote unquote white boys with fades. You know what we'll call them? We'll call them white basketball players. I feel like that kind of like encapsulates
Tyler Hero.
Like, yes, your Tyler Heroes, your The Professors, if you will. Street ball legend, The Professor. Notably bad haircut.
I do not want to see that guy in a basketball court. He would embarrass me.
Oh, he would embarrass me. Now, that being said, we had a lot of, you know, white R&B singer, a lot of white, formerly white R&B singers and white basketball players at our high school. So they all wore FUBU in middle school, and then they got to high school and like started hanging out with like redneck kids again, and then all got ashamed that they were into that black nonsense, and the rednecks made them feel bad. And so they just started giving me and Isaiah tons of their old FUBU stuff.
Yes.
So weirdly, we had FUBU that we bought, but a lot of our FUBU came from white people. And that's why when people...
It's a conflict. It's an internal battle you fight.
People have problems with the movie The Blind Side. And I'm like, but me and Isaiah were blindsided by a ton of FUBU from white people. And
it worked out. It worked out pretty good.
Yeah. He got a place to live and got to play football. We got FUBU. And we are not going to apologize for these beautiful white angel saviors who came into our life and gifted us with FUBU.
Yeah, I want to talk about another piece that you used to have that I remember vividly, and I really, really wanted it. I could never find it in my size.
Yeah, yeah.
But you had a Mark Echo Daredevil t-shirt, and the logo was Daredevil's logo, like his silhouette of him holding his, what is it, a baton that has like a string in the middle? He was holding that, and that part was kind of like embossed, and it had like a bunch of different clips from the comic book that made up that silhouette.
Yeah, it truly, that was, and you know, we're definitely going to talk about this on other episodes. I'm a big comic book guy, big comic book fan and reader. And Mark Echo was like the first person outside, because like now it's everywhere, right, Zay? Like, you, again, you walk into a Target and it's like a t-shirt of like Deadpool, like with a gun eating a chimichanga, and he's saying something like, "Who, me?" And you're like, "I don't even know what this shirt means." Like, this is just three things that are existing, coexisting. But Mark Echo was the first like big cool designer who got the rights to Marvel stuff. And so he did that Daredevil t-shirt, which I oddly, the reason you couldn't find it in your size is because I got it at like TJ Maxx, because it was technically an old season shirt.
Uh-huh.
And he also did these two amazing pieces. He did these very heavy wool sweaters. One was black and it was just the Punisher skull, but it was like a very nice
sweater. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, and the other one he did was, they did a Captain America one where it was Captain America's uniform. So it was like the bottom half of the sweater was red and white striped, and the top was blue with his star in the center of the chest. How about this? Like, as an adult, when you first, you know, Isaiah's a very successful writer, producer, and filmmaker. Like, what was like the first like streetwear thing you got when you were like, oh, I'm like making money. I'm like, I have a paycheck that I'm going to pay rent, buy food, and I will have money left over.
I would say the first real big thing that I got streetwear, I got a Kith Versace rugby sweater during the Kith Versace drop. And then, yeah. And then the next week, so I was just like, oh, well, maybe rent can wait a couple weeks. And then I got the hoodie.
Man.
Those are the two first big ones where I was just like, yeah, this is what's up.
You watch these like documentaries on like, and by no means am I like a gajillionaire, but I survive. Isaiah survives. But then you watch these documentaries where you're like, how do these athletes go broke? And then I buy one thing and I'm like, oh yeah, if I had more money, I would just buy more things. Like I wouldn't be putting it into a 401k. Like I would be like, oh, I'd buy six of this thing. So I'm glad I don't play basketball against white people, because if they beat me.
Those were my first big pieces. I actually got my first Supreme Box logo last year for Christmas, which is very exciting. And I have a ton of stuff. Like I get the Photograph Supreme t-shirts. I get whatever Palace has to offer. I have the, I've got the Ralph Lauren Palace, loafers, you know? Yeah. Just, I've gotten really into Human Made recently. If we're going to bring it international.
Yeah.
I actually just, their drops happen at the worst time for me, 'cause it's late and it's Friday. I'm just like, I'm fed up and paid. So I'm just like, 10 o'clock on a Friday night rolls around. Like last night I got two sets of coasters from them and a snow globe. So it's just like stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay. I will say I started this by being like, what were you buying responsibly? And then you immediately were like, oh yeah, I was a month behind on rent buying Kith Versace stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, to say a month is probably a little friendly to say it was only a month. But, you know, that's what I was up to, man. I had to have that rugby. And then I still want so much from that collection. It's just such a big collection.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so much stuff that I still want that I haven't got my hands on yet.
Oh, that's interesting. I have all of it and I have two of it. Anyway, so we're going to move on, Isaiah, because again, I have all of it. So there's nothing I could say that would even feel good to you. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
You'd be like,
ugh.
Zay, we're getting real massive on the podcast now. I wish I could do an accent.
It's monumental.
We're going to list people in this dude's class of like humanity and celebrity. Barack Obama. That's his only.
That's it. We stop right
competition.
There.
Look, this dude is on his Obama. Barack. Star of Werewolves Within. Star of Detroiters. One of the funniest series of all time.
Star of
upcoming funniest series of all time, The After Party on Apple TV Plus. Make some noise for Sam Richardson. Yeah.
Barack.
Oh, we got Barack here, man. Oh man, this is Terrence Howard being excited. Sam Richardson's on the podcast. You ready? All right. Oh, we got Barack on the podcast.
He's the main
man. It's so good.
It's the main man. Oh, this is Terrence Howard using. No, wait, this is Terrence Howard using the bathroom. I gotta drain the main vein.
Yeah. He said it to me at a SAG party.
He walked up. He's like, hey, Barack, big fan. I gotta drain the main vein. You think I'm Barack Obama?
Oh, God.
All right. Beautiful Sam. Beautiful Sam, as we call you, me and Isaiah, on our private calls. What's up? How you living?
I'm living real good. I'm living real good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, stop it. You know, I mean, again, you literally have been calling us nonstop, being like, please.
I also begged you not to say that.
Yeah, man. But you didn't hit my Venmo and my Cash App. All right, Sam, you know, in this episode, we're talking streetwear, bro.
Okay.
We're getting really into it in the streetwear. Now, what do you have? Do you have like a defining streetwear moment for you? Like childhood, as an adult, whatever? Like, are you like, this is the streetwear fit that brought the real Sam Richardson out the woods and into the light?
I'll tell you what. My grand achievement streetwear moment was we did a show that you wrote for called Champagne Ill.
Yeah.
And my character, Alf, wore just the most lavish and flamboyant and just like cool and like just kind of hard to get your hands on clothes. And I feel like the streetwear that he wore with that was a pretty was something that I there were some like, okay, because I had blonde hair. I was like everything was a swing, and also I was like willing to take bigger swings.
Yeah. You know what I
mean? I got a V-loan jacket and like a bunch of clothes from there, and I don't think I would ever like on my own just go and like seek it out because I was like, well, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? But then I was like, oh, I can wear this all day. So I think that whole piece was like my moment.
Yeah.
V-Loan, the thing with V-Loan is that they'll have like a t-shirt with a teddy bear on it, but also a t-shirt with an AK-47 on it.
Exactly. So
you have no idea where they lie.
So they gotta be careful which one you send to school.
Right.
It's a kiss shirt. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Come on, man.
It's not loaded. It's not loaded.
Yeah.
So what is like, do you have any like big events that you like to, is there any particular event that you bust out a good piece of streetwear for? You know, whether it be going to the market, maybe you're going to a baby shower you're invited to that you feel obligated to attend. anything in particular?
If I'm going to, I feel like when I go shopping, I have to, if I go shopping for streetwear, I have to wear streetwear.
Yeah.
You know, to get it. So I'm like, see, I'm not poser. This is how I dress every day. So let me see the good stuff in the back. Do you have my size? Give me those 38 pants, please.
Yeah. I'd like that too. Like, we don't have this in your size, sir. And I'm like, okay. Now I'm gonna whisper in your ear, and you're just gonna get me the biggest size and put it in the bag. And we're gonna pretend like this never happened. I don't care all if it's right. The 36. Put it in the bag.
I don't know what you're waiting for, but I'm going to cause a ruckus in T-minus 10 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is so funny. Dude.
No, I do the same thing, though. Like, I'll go out to Soho, and I'll dress crazy, and it's only because, like, I can't have a teenager flex on me. It's like, I cannot have that happen while I'm out. This one time I was in a sneaker store, and this dude was wearing a pair of those Chanel Pharrell NMDs. Uh-huh. And I looked down, I checked him out. I was like, damn, those are hard. And I looked up, and he gave me this look like, yeah, I got him. And he was like 16. And I was like, dog, I want to put my hands on you so bad right now. You have no idea. I want to cause harm to you, dog. It's so bad.
It's exactly that. Cause I'm like, I can buy that if I wanted to.
See, I don't think I have any situations where I feel obligated to, but yeah. Every time I don't is when someone like really comes through and I'm just like, Hey man, just so you know, I could also buy that. Hey. All right, Sammy. Yeah. You know, yeah. I here's the thing. Kiss. Mm-hmm. Eminem, Big Sean, Sam Richardson, and Tim Robinson. Mm-hmm. Detroit Heavy, The Hitters, The Water and Flint. Now, that's not really a celebrity, but it's just a situation
it's
that
famous.
Feels like
it's, it, fa-
it's famous.
Famous.
It's so famous. I had to bring that up, too. Now, is there stores in Detroit that you're like, I'm back in the city, this is where I'm getting the streetwear? Is there a Detroit fit that you would say, like, oh, like you could see someone wearing a particular kind of outfit in public and be like, oh, my baby is from Detroit.
that's my Detroit baby right there. That's my baby. My boy Rick Williams is a Detroit sort of a sneaker and streetwear mainstay, and he worked with us on he went to high school with Tim Robinson, and so he helped us out with Detroiters a lot. So he like wrote the theme song. He helped us acquire a lot of like sneakers and stuff for the thing. And he had he has a shop in Royal Oak.
Oh yeah, you're talking about Burn Rubber. Great store.
Burn Rubber is I'll always go through. And as far as fit goes, you know, I it's embarrassing for me. I love a tight pant. I'm a big fan of a tight pant. Okay. But when I go to Detroit, they're like, those pants are tight, bro. I'm like, yeah. Like, I forgot I'm home. Let me go ahead and bag these bad boys up. Give me that 38.
Yeah.
God, that cracks me up. I just, next time I'm shopping with you, I'm either one of y'all, I'm looking out for that. I'm like, wow, he brought that cashier in mighty close to say something.
He scruffed him. He grabbed him by the scruff of his neck, picked him up off his feet, then talked to him close in his ear.
It sounds like you take, like, with your tight pants, your blonde hair, it sounds like you take a lot of risk. And you're just out there. Do you rock a fanny pack? Are you a fanny pack guy?
You know, I was rocking the crossbody bag for a minute. Haven't in a while. Whenever I travel, I will wear one at the airport, and then I'll wear one for like days after, and then I'll be like, I don't need all this stuff. But typically no. There was years ago, like a Supreme crossbody bag, like sort of fanny pack. It was more crossbody than fanny pack. And I think if I had gotten that one years ago, it was in Atlanta. It was in this streetwear shop in Atlanta that closed down. If I bought that one, I would wear that every day. It's like one of those, you know, those cop regret things where I'm like, oh, that was the one. That was the one. I know it was the one. But really, if I got it, I'd be like, this is great. And then 2 weeks later, I'd be like, I don't need it.
Yeah. Somebody would have looked at you. See, like, I would have gone to Soho and some teenager would have had like a nicer version. I'd have been like, damn, I got to put this away forever.
Exactly.
I like, but no, I do. I like a crossbody because I like to wear a tighter pant. So like, it's like, it's a good way to put just a little side bag. Not necessarily, I don't necessarily do the fanny pack, but I've got like this really small Supreme kind of crossbody that can carry like four things in it. It's the camo. Yasser, you've seen it. It's the camo one.
Yeah.
You've seen it, right, Yasser? Oh, the one that's it. It's camo. You've seen it.
Yes, yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, yeah, okay. No, I've seen it. First of all, I do want to say, I want to point out that your entire existence is apparently going to Soho and flexing on teenagers. And then when you can't do it, you lose your mind.
Yes.
I don't do a crossbody bag because the only thing I wear is I own a vintage full body Rockaware denim suit jacket with the jeans. Each is it uses European suit sizes, so it's a 48 long, real crispy. I spend 2 hours a day starching it and ironing it just to make sure the lines are right. I wear a loose, not Timberland, Caterpillar boot. Yes, the brand that also makes tractors. I wear a durag with a headband on top of that, and then I go out to a fancy steak dinner.
It's Ruth Chris. You can't wear those boots in here.
No. And I'm like, and then I go, no, you don't understand. I have a lot of money.
Oh, okay. Come on in, sir.
Yeah. Now, Sammy, before we go, is there anything you want to plug that we haven't yet? Is there any, do you have any messages to your fans? You know, the one that, the very special message that you said you wanted to shout out. Oh, so go ahead and do that right now.
That's right. Hey, it's your boy Sam Richardson. make sure, please, go back. Champagne Ale just got re-released on Hulu. Go back, watch that show. It was, underappreciated because nobody was able to find it. Do the same for Detroiters.
Yep. Yo, thank you so much for real.
Thanks,
for
man.
Coming.
We are we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
It was my pleasure. I loved it.
And I love talking to my two little rats. My little rats, Sam and Zay. Welcome to StockX, the only live marketplace for what's now and next. From the most historic heat to the latest instant classics, StockX specializes in giving everyone access to what they want and love.
With StockX, you have the power to shop millions of hard-to-find or sold-out products at their true market value.
And thanks to StockX's live marketplace, you have the ability to instantly shop the latest and greatest.
Download the app or sign up online to start buying and selling in a few easy clicks.
That's right. You can use the code HISTORYHEAT for free shipping on your first purchase of any order of $240 or more.
Start shopping at StockX.com. Access the now.
Our sweet Jesse.
He's back.
We got beautiful Jesse Einhorn. Jesse, say hey.
Hey, what's going on? Good to be back. It's beautiful, beautiful, sweet Jesse. I'm so excited to be here, you guys. It's been an honor to be in the studio now twice.
Ooh.
With y'all, and I'm very excited that I get to do it another four times potentially for each of the limited episodes we're doing. So it's just exciting.
Honestly, you better show up.
I'm planning to come every single time. I will be here.
Oh my God. I'm literally furious right now thinking you might not be here. I don't care about your outfits. If you do not show up, buddy, you don't even want to get into it.
Isaiah brings a lot of heat each time, and I got to say, it's intimidating. So I'm trying to, I have to plan a little bit more in advance. I've had to order a couple things.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, that I fry by the fifth and sixth episode, it's like, oh shit. Okay.
He's here.
Right. He's here.
Jesse's been here, but he has arrived.
Whoa. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. He's dressed like a white R&B singer.
Asher Roth. By the way, we talked about Asher Roth in the first. He was on Full Size Run yesterday.
He was on Full Size Run.
He was like, we talked about him, and like you manifested his relevance. Like someone sent me this on Slack, and the headline is Asher Roth explains why he never got a sneaker deal.
I can guess a couple reasons why.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, buddy. I don't think it's a full discussion.
We said his name three times and he appeared.
Exactly. It's like the
we said his name three times and then he got out of bed. Oh, by the way, just again, we've introduced him once, but you know, Jesse is the senior economist at StockX.
Thank you. So, yeah, obviously, we've been talking a lot about streetwear in a U.S. context, in a Detroit context, and in more like cities that we're familiar with. But streetwear is obviously like a global phenomenon, and StockX is a global marketplace. So we see which brands are really blowing up in different countries. So I wanted to do a quick Q&A around where brands are super popular around the world. So the first question, Fear of God, just was not a massive brand a couple of years ago on StockX and is now rival Supreme as the biggest apparel brand on StockX. Hmm. You know, what country would you say is Fear of God most popular on a per capita basis? And the three options I'll give you are Canada, England, and France.
Whoa.
I'm going to say England. I watch a lot of Premier League soccer, guys. And them boys, when they walk out off the buses and they've got their little shower kits with them, yeah, and headphones in.
Yeah.
They're wearing essentials.
I don't want to give my reason for saying Canada, but I'm going to say Canada.
Interesting. You know, so first of all, nailed it. England is the answer. And just very impressive that you got that just from watching soccer or football, as they call it. Canada actually also very, very popular. It's very popular in Canada. That was I think number two in terms of per capita trades. But in England, Fear of God is just massive. It's the biggest apparel brand. It's the most popular item in England across the StockX marketplace is a Fear of God hoodie. It outsells even every sneaker that we sell.
What? Wow.
Yes. Yes. So more people are buying that hoodie in England, this Fear of God hoodie, than any sneaker. But the next biggest is the Yeezy Boost Core Black, which done thousands of trades, but the hoodie is two times more in England So God, just super, super popular.
Crazy.
And it's interesting. I mean, it's like an, you know, it's like an LA brand. I don't know what the resonance is there. I mean, maybe it's like sort of like some Anglo sort of solidarity.
I think it's because it's like, it's very bland, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like the colorways are very muted.
Yeah.
It like you can blend into the England sky just wearing like a kind of a gray Fear of God sweatsuit.
I think that's absolutely right.
Look like a head and hands.
Yeah.
And black core Yeezys on your feet.
Yes. Muted. Some might say dull.
A little dull.
And now just basing this entirely on my own, like, you know, dime store knowledge of England as being cold and dark.
It's like the clothing equivalent of beans, isn't it?
Like the whole country just shuts off the podcast immediately.
Yeah, but okay, moving on. That was great. So New Balance, another very popular sneaker, streetwear brand, done a lot of obviously fire collabs the last couple of years. New Balance is actually, you know, it's super popular in the US, but it's way more popular in this other country. Where do you think New Balance is the most popular around the world?
Japan.
Germany.
It's Japan. Why did you said Japan so confidently?
Oh,
more Premier League soccer.
I think it's because of the collabs they do.
Yeah.
They do a lot of Atmos collabs. Yeah, that's a Japanese brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just had a gut feeling that it would be Japan.
No, it's massively popular in Japan. It's like five times more popular in Japan than in the rest of the world. There's a Levi's New Balance collab that's purchased in Japan at 51 times the global average.
Wow.
Like they go wild for it. Japan is the answer. The last one is, okay, so like obviously hometown heroes have a lot of influence in their respective countries. So there's an Air Max sneaker that's like closely associated with Ichiro, and then there's a pair of Justin Bieber Crocs, and they're both super, super popular in Japan and Canada respectively. Which would you say is more sort of popular, relatively speaking? Like, does Japan love Ichiro the most, or does Canada love Bieber the most?
Huh. I actually weirdly feel like Canada doesn't rock with Bieber that hard. I think they love him, but I don't think he ain't their Jim Carrey.
Yo.
So I go Ichiro Japan as my guess.
Just a brief little story. I used to live in Canada.
That's
I lived
true.
In Vancouver. I went to school there. And Justin Bieber was kind of on the cusp, like he had just put out that the baby song,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was going to meet a friend at dinner, and there was just legions of people outside of their place, like just a ton of people. And I was just like, we meet up. And like, what was that all about? Like, you'd think, you know, you'd think, I said, I was like, is Steve Nash in there? Like, that's who I thought was in there.
Right.
And they were like, no, it was Justin Bieber, you know?
Interesting.
So I challenge you on that, sir.
Okay.
I think you're incorrect on that.
Okay.
I think that people love Crocs. I think that Canada loves Justin Bieber. I think Canada loves anybody who's from Canada doing it on a bigger level. I'm going to say, though, personally, I love Ichiro Suzuki. He's one of my favorite baseball players of all time.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's Justin Bieber and Crocs.
The reason I gave is the reason that I don't think it's Bieber. But like just on price point alone, I'm like, it's probably Bieber. But I still stick with Ichiro.
The correct answer is, in fact, Ichiro.
Oh!
Again, they're both very popular. Like Canada does buy a lot of Justin Bieber Crocs. But there is this photograph of Ichiro wearing these Air Max 95s in Japan that is just beloved. And like every Air Max 95 blows up. And there's this one Air Max 95 denim that was like just a massive hit in Japan. There was one quarter where it made up like nearly 10% of all sneaker imports to Japan. They were importing so much of the sneaker that it was like one out of every, you know, imports to Japan was this Air Max 95 because they just couldn't get it, you know, domestically. There just weren't enough. Which is just also just a story of just like how interconnected this global sneaker and streetwear world is. You know, you've got like Japanese buyers importing Air Maxes from the US and Canada buyers importing Justin Bieber Crocs from the UK. But yeah, Ichiro's the winner.
He is a god over there.
Yeah.
People love Ichiro.
Yeah. He's a god.
Yeah.
He's like Michael Jackson. So. He legit is. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Except I think he was a little nicer than Mike.
Okay.
they haven't dropped that HBO Ichiro doc.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. We are going to move on to the price is hype. All right, Jesse, we want to talk about how streetwear got started. You know, we want to talk about that Supreme drop that got canceled because there were too many people put their hands in the pot, too many people waiting. But let's get into the business of it. What is the defining economic feature of streetwear, right? Like what differentiates, you know, a brand like Supreme or Bape from a brand like Levi's or, you know, J. Crew?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think like just from a strictly kind of economic perspective, right? Like the defining feature of streetwear is that it's limited, right? It's like artificially, somewhat, right, to some extent, artificially scarce. Like the brands have made a decision. They're like, we want to create hype. We want to drive people a little bit crazy. And so we are going to produce less supply than there is demand. And it's like pretty much that simple. That's like 95% of what explains this entire phenomenon of like hype and streetwear and sneakers is just there is an imbalance. There's like there's too little supply for all the demand. And like, you know, it's interesting because it's like if you go, you know, you go on Twitter or whatever, everyone's always pissed when they missed out on a drop. They all, you know, you're going to see like a million people screaming like, you know, why isn't Nike making more shoes, or like, why isn't Supreme making more hoodies? But like people don't actually want there to be an unlimited amount of this stuff, because if there was, it wouldn't be cool. It wouldn't be hype.
Right.
So what really happens if a brand decided to drop more? I do complain when I can't get something, but at the end of the day, if I like hit up StockX or I get my hands on this thing, I wear it and walk around like I'm 10 feet tall because I have it and you don't.
Yep.
So I would, because like it's even like the Supreme Dunks that came out, I keep waiting for like, oh, they're going to release those on sneakers. Yeah. Are they coming back out? And I heard they're not, which is like, it hurts because I don't have a pair right now.
Yeah.
But also I know when I get a pair,
yeah,
it'll mean a little bit more.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's like, do you remember what the original sort of musician signature sneaker was like before the Yeezy 350? Like what was the first one? It was actually this Jay-Z.
Yeah, Reebok. I was going to say, was it S. Dot Carters?
Oh, yeah.
S. Dot Carters. Oh, my God. So I remember the S. Dots.
So the S. Dots, right, when those first released, they made 10,000 pairs. And they released 10,000 pairs and they sold out like immediately. Because I think it was like 2000, I want to say maybe even 2003, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jay was super, super hot. And they sold out like immediately. And then Reebok was like, oh, wow, they sold out. We can make another 10,000 and another 10,000. And they kept restocking them. And it kind of killed the sneaker. Like no one really talks about that sneaker anymore. You know, I'm sure it'll get like resurrected at some point, but like that was, as compared to say like the Yeezy 350, which has always been limited, right? Or as opposed to like Supreme drops, which always sell out. You know, you can't, brands have sort of, they've learned this the hard way, but you can't like overproduce. You can't saturate the market, or else it's going to kill the cool factor.
Right. What is the line though? Like, what is the line? Because like you have that, you have the S. Carter drop, you have drops where they maybe produced a little too much. And then you have stuff like, not to get off streetwear, but just asking out of curiosity with limited things, but like the Trophy Room drop, which was a disaster, the Yeezy Red October drop back in the day, which was a disaster. No one got their hands on. So what do you think the line is between those two?
I mean, I think if you're, you know, again, it's like even things that are disaster, you have to wonder, like, it's like almost like, is all press good press? It's like, but the line is tricky. I think like the brands, and I'm sort of speaking on behalf more of like, you know, my assessment of what the brands are doing. I think what's really interesting when you have a brand, like the Yeezy Gap hoodie is actually an interesting one. You're wearing one of them right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's something where like there was one colorway that was super, super limited. And then others that were a little easier to get. Mm-hmm. And then you could say like all Gap hoodies, you can walk in any Gap store and get a hoodie. So like, I think when you know, brands are very smart, there can be one item that's like super, super hard to get and maybe like pisses a lot of people off, but they also allow, there's like other stuff that you can get that's like almost as good. And that seems to kind of work, right? And it has this kind of halo effect where like the hype of the one colorway or the one product kind of like trickles down to all the others. It's the logic of like the whole market works, right? It's like, I mean, that's why they make limited edition Jordans, right? And that's why Nike makes like off-white Air Force Ones, because like people will be like, oh, I can't get the off-white Air Force Ones, but I can get the white Air Force Ones, which aren't as cool, but they're still way cooler than if Virgil hadn't made the off-whites.
And Off-White does that a lot. They'll do a shoe drop and then they'll also put out apparel at the same time.
Yep.
So you're kind of splitting the two groups of people of yep. what you want more.
Totally. Or right. even that dunk, the 50 dunk. There were two colorways of that dunk that were way more limited and way more hype than the others. But then the others were a little bit easier to get.
Yeah, the two, it was the one in the 50.
Yep.
They were really hard to get.
The one in the 50 were hard.
I got the sevens. Oh. I was very happy with them.
What's the color combination of that?
It's kind of like a UCLA blue and yellow with a gray. I love them. I was just excited. It's like it was an exciting thing, like just to get picked and wonder what it was going to be for all that time, and then opening it up and being like, oh, I like these.
Yeah. Cool. To be fair, he ordered them, got the confirmation, then he got like the shipping information. They were supposed to come on a certain day. Me and him and our spouses and our other friends came to dinner. And Isaiah, for half the dinner, was sitting on his phone watching the tracking on his phone because he was afraid the delivery person was going to realize they were Off-White.
Yo, they've been jacking them. They've been jacking them. I didn't make this up. This isn't Peter the Dragon. It's not a mythical creature that steals your shoes. It's a real person. These people stealing your shoes out here.
But either way, but it was quite a sight to see.
But you know, it's also interesting. It's like even from the small brand, we've been talking about these big brands like Supreme and Nike. From like a smaller brand's perspective too, there's a real trade-off and a real difficulty, right? Like if you, Bobby Hundreds writes about this in his book, right?
Or, yeah.
Where it's like, you know, they right. faced this point, they were the super hot brand, the Hundreds were super hot. And like, you know, they had an opportunity to like sell in shopping malls around the country. You know, they could right. like, you know, get into PacSun. And, you know, there was like a real, they had a real choice to make. I think they knew on some level that might dilute the brand and make them a little, you know, like, you know, lessen the heat, to use the parlance of this podcast. But right. at the same time, like, you know, they had to take their shot. Like they wanted to make some real money. And so that's also like, you know, it's not just like a difficulty that like the big brands face. It's like all brands kind of have right. that problem.
Except for me. I've done a clothing drop and sells that online. I also sell it at, you guessed it, Walmart. And anytime any Walmart, you go in, they're like, do we have more Yasser? And people are like, sorry, we're out.
Oh, so it sells out at Walmart.
The lines are always long just because it's Walmart and the lines are always long.
Yeah. They're actually waiting for Mountain Dew Code Red. And then they go, oh, a Yasser shirt.
Yeah.
All right. Look, I really wanted you to like really explain what streetwear was and like how it works as a business model. And you literally just put us more in the weeds.
Yeah.
Honestly. And I feel like everyone at home is like, who is this Jesse
yeah.
guy? You know? So, you know, after we come back, we're going to get more into that. But when we come back, we have a little question for everybody. Do you know what Gorpcore is? We want you to think about it, and then we'll tell you the answer once we come back. And we're back with the least knowledgeable person we've ever spoken to, Jesse. Jesse, explain to us what Gorpcore is.
I'm gonna let Isaiah take a shot at defining Gorpcore.
Gorpcore is like it's like the stuff you'd wear outside. You know, it's your fleece, your Neptune jacket, your North Face, your Patagonia. You're wearing Patagonia right now, Yasser. It looks like.
Yeah, man, I'm an outdoorsy boy, yeah. man. I'll be fixing my truck and I'll be outdoors, man. I'm in the mountains right
now,
bro.
I think that's what Gorpcore is. Maybe like I'd even go as far as to say like a luxury flannel, stuff like
okay,
that.
Okay, wait, I have a question then. Because last week, Todd Snyder and LL Bean did a really dope collab. And I saw it online, then I saw it in person, and I just never pulled the trigger. Then I saw Zaya had it on. I was like, dang it, I should have got it. Would we consider that? And it's very, I would say, camping, fishing specific.
Yeah.
In terms of style. Would that be considered Gorpcore or Carpcore?
Yeah, I think it's probably Gorpcore. I mean, Gorpcore, it's like a trend that we started noticing on our marketplace that was really taking off. I think like maybe the best example is this Palace Arc'teryx collab, right?
Yes.
Arc'teryx is like a real outerwear yeah. brand. Palace, obviously, like a streetwear mainstay. But we see it also, there's like, you know, Gucci North Face is another good example. And obviously all the so, Supreme North
right,
Face.
Right, right.
There's a bunch of like technical hiking boots that have gotten really hype.
Just real quick, like the Hokas, right?
Yep.
I feel like a lot of street, like I feel like a lot of like, quote unquote hip hoppers are wearing like Hokas, and I had never seen that before. But continue. Yeah, by the way, yeah. Danners are better, but I digress.
Or like Snow Peak, there's this Japanese brand that makes like hiking gear and like outdoor camping equipment. Right. And that's gotten kind of hot on StockX. So yeah, it's just, I think like the big picture takeaway is like another example of how streetwear is just kind of like taking over like so many other parts of fashion, right? It's like, you know, you already have it. You're already seeing with luxury where it's like, oh, you know, you've got, you know, Dior and Louis Vuitton doing streetwear collabs. And now it's like hiking boots and like hiking jackets. Right. Yeah. And it's like, what's, you know, what's next?
And also like Chinatown Market as well. They do like they'll do the most ridiculous like fishing vest and like harnesses like that. That are very dope. I love them, but they're just crazy, you know?
Yep.
You know, when you talk about Patagonia and Arc'teryx and all these things, like, you know, Georgia isn't the tundra, but like we were raised on like wearing Patagonia pullovers or like, you know, an Old Navy performance fleece. And I know Old Navy's a little different, clearly, but my point being is that like, are we, and this may not be for y'all to answer, but it's like, are we, is one wading into the other, or is it vice versa, right? Like, is someone saying like, oh, people who wear Patagonia also want to like feel like they're part of the greater thing, right? Or is it someone being like, oh, I work at Gucci, but like I remember wearing North Face. Like, I wonder if there's even a way to like track something like that, you know,
like which direction is it moving, like which group is moving toward,
right? Like, yeah, like did someone see, like, you know, like, because like you take a company like Patagonia is literally known on its like sustainability, and I think that's why they don't have any huge collabs from what I can remember. And a bunch of recycling and all that stuff, but like a company like North Face, where they make all of their clothes with like oil and fossil fuels, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying that to be funny. It's like that's what the clothes are made out of, you know. So, I just wonder, you know, a little bit at like even the term Gorp Core, like it almost, and you know, like it feels, and I could be wrong, it feels a little manufactured to me. Like it feels like they knew to do this. Like, does that make sense to anybody else? Yeah. Like, am I being a weird conspiracy theorist?
I think
much like Isaiah was on January 6th.
I think, I mean, I think it's what I think it's these people come in and they go like, this is what's needed, and I think we should make this. And this is what people are like, this is what people are wearing. Like, I think that the bigger companies reach out clearly, or they produce clearly off of the smaller brands, because there's nothing more hype than being like, to me, than being like, oh, this is not just a fleece jacket, but it is a North Face Gucci. It's like, oh, that's a really nice North Face jacket you have. Like, mine's North Face Gucci, you know? Like, there's just something that's just like, there's something that's a level up by having the most common thing. It's like why, like, it's the same reason why I have like a Tom Brown pencil set, you know? It's like, oh, you have a pencil? I got a Tom Brown pencil. I got a Tom Brown notepad. So I feel like it's definitely I just feel like all these companies have like a dude in a turtleneck in glasses, and he's like, I went hiking this weekend. I went outside for the first time in 15 years and it was amazing. We need to get these boots, you know? Like, I just feel like that's what happens. Or it's like Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada being like, you know, I wore Crocs this weekend.
Do the full impression.
You know, yeah, we do this. We see this dance, dude.
Go for it. I'll be Anne Hathaway. Go for it.
But so I mean, you guys are right. I just, it is. It, like, sometimes I'm just like, this feels like the police are like setting us up for something. You know what I mean? The fashion police.
The fashion police.
All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. We're gonna wrap this up by forecasting some heat, y'all. Now we were talking about Gorp Core and collabs and. You know, who's working with what, but like, what do y'all think is the next big movement in streetwear? Like, is there something that you think is either coming back, not from a nostalgia standpoint, but just like something that's a style is returning, or is there an untapped market completely that we're going to see a larger return in?
If I may,
yeah,
I think we're already seeing one happen in terms of like a direction of it, and that's golf.
Yeah,
golf is really big right now.
Yep.
Yeah. I think with like the Drake release and you know, Jordan's making cleats, like they made a pair of Bred 4 cleats that are coming out that look really clean.
Right.
I think personally it's golf, and then from that I think it's going to be like other kind of, you know, not quite mainline sports like that. Like I think like lacrosse will have a thing, and I think that tennis was huge a couple of years ago, but I feel like that's not done yet. You know, I don't think that was overdone. So I think that also has a chance to come back.
Yeah, golf is okay. A great call. Jordan golf shoes have been just going absolutely wild on StockX lately.
And
part of that whole trend.
What about you, Big J?
Well, you know, we already talked about like the Gap Yeezy collab. I think you're going to see a lot more of these, like, you know, stores like Banana Republic or like J. Crew, or, you know, these types of like big brands, you know, I don't know, like regain some of their earlier coolness. I mean, these were brands that I really cared about a lot growing up, and you're seeing that same kind of like 90s nostalgia, I think, in other areas. So, yeah, I could see a lot more, you know, I don't know, maybe there'll be a
Sweetie and Kmart.
That one actually makes sense to me. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I feel like the Venn diagram of fans of both is a complete circle.
Good forecast.
Very good forecast. I really feel like we nailed it. Now, before we sign off, is there anyone that y'all in particular want to shout out?
Just in general?
In general.
Damn good.
Yeah, there's no one I really want to shout out.
Jesse? All right. I want to shout out everyone.
That feels more hollow than shouting out.
See how easy that was?
I'd much rather shout out no one than everyone.
No. I'm shouting out everyone. People, thank you so much for listening to History of Heat. That expert that you just listened to was Jesse Einhorn, senior economist from StockX. I am Yasser Lester, and he is...
I'm Isaiah Lester, and I want to shout out everybody.
Oh, see, now you're a copycat. So that's way more hollow than what
I was just showing how hollow you can be, bro. Anyway, I'll see you guys next time.
No.
It's over, dog. You're hollow.
I win. Thank you so much. I love you all. I win. Bye.
All right, bye.
Was a HeadGum original.